Welcome to True Crime Works, a true crime podcast. This is episode number 35, The Thousand Oaks Shooting. Hey everyone, welcome back to True Crime Works, a true crime podcast. I'm your host Ash, and I just have a couple of announcements before we get into the episode. First of all, I noticed on the last two episodes that the audio quality was kind of off, and I was having microphone issues that I really didn't know about, but I believe I have cleared that up, so hopefully from here on out, things will be good. But thank you for your patience with that. The only other thing is if you could, please rate, subscribe, and review, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show out and helps others find the show. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. So that's all the announcements I had. I told you it would be quick. So let's just get right into the episode. So I'm still on the mass shooting series, and today's topic is about the Thousand Oaks shooting in Thousand Oaks, California. And this happened in the year 2018, so it's kind of recent. This tragedy occurred on November 7th, 2018 in Thousand Oaks, California, at the Borderline Bar and Grill, which was a country western bar frequented by college students. The man responsible for this was a 28-year-old man named Ian David Long. Ian David Long was a 28-year-old man who lived with his mother at the time of the shooting. Growing up, his parents divorced when he was about 2 or 3 years old, and sadly, his father died while he was still a child. He attended high school in Newberry Park, California, and graduated in June of 2008. After that, he went into the United States Marine Corps and served from August 2008 to March of 2013. And he was a corporal, and he also went to Afghanistan from November 2010 to June 2011. He was honorably discharged and went on to attend college. He went to California State University, Northridge, and majored in athletic training, but he did not graduate. During this time, he got into a motorcycle accident, and that left him with a collapsed lung. He was also diagnosed with adjustment disorder, and this is a mental and behavioral disorder that happens when an individual has a really tough time adjusting or coping with a stressful event. He also suffered PTSD from combat, and he was in chronic pain from the accident. His mother would go on to say that he began to unravel after this. In the year 2017, police and a mental health crisis team visited him, and this was because he was exhibiting irrational behavior, but they decided not to detain him. Ian was only 18 when he enlisted in the Marines, and he was only 19 years old when he got married in Honolulu in June of 2009. During his service, his marriage fell apart. He and his wife decided to separate in June of 2011, and this was while he was deployed in Afghanistan. Everything was finalized in May 2013, 2 months after he left the Marines. Today's episode is sponsored by Amio. Amio is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Amio will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Amio saves you time and money. That's a win-win in our books. Amio wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head to Amio.com and use the code Amio5 at checkout. That's O-M-I-O-5 at checkout. Valid until July 31st for new users on all modes of transportation. It's just the pick-me-up 2021 needs. Amio. Book, plan, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. As I said before, Ian was living with his mother at the time of the shooting. And from all accounts, this was not going well because neighbors would hear shouting matches between him and his mother. and these seem to have gotten worse before the time of the shooting. One neighbor would go on to say that he heard a pretty awful argument between Ian and his mother in what he believes to be a gunshot that came from their property. And he decided not to call the police, but he avoided speaking with Ian after this because he was frightened of him. And he said, quote, "I told my wife, just be polite to him. If he talks, just acknowledge him. Don't go into conversation with him," end quote. He seemed to be having a tough time coping with everything, and his mental health was really deteriorating at this time. Ian entered the Borderline Bar and Grill at about 11:20 p.m. on Wednesday, November 7th, 2018. And at this time, there were about 200 people, employees included, inside the bar. They were having a regularly scheduled college country night event that was very popular with students in the area. And these were students from colleges like Pepperdine University, California Lutheran University, and Cal State University Channel Islands. So it was pretty much packed. He entered the bar dressed in all black with his hood pulled low. He was armed with a 45 caliber Glock 21, 7 band high capacity magazines, which carried about 190 rounds, and he also had a folding knife, 10 smoke bombs, and 2 fireworks. He entered the bar through the front door and killed the cashier nearby right away. Then he just began shooting at the patrons. He fired about 61 rounds total and also threw smoke bombs. Many of the victims died in the first few minutes of the shooting while they were lying on the floor or trying to charge at the man. Right away, 2 California Highway Patrol officers were alerted to the shooting by someone who managed to escape. They arrived at the bar's parking lot a minute later, and they were joined by the Ventura County Sheriff about 4 minutes after that. They entered the building, and shortly after that, they came under fire because Lon was actually monitoring their movements through the security cameras inside the building. The sergeant was actually shot 5 times by Lon. A SWAT team and other police officers arrived on the scene shortly afterwards. After this, Ian would stop shooting victims. At 11:37 p.m., he lit a firework and threw it out of the bar's front office. 40 seconds after that, he threw another firework out of the office. A minute later, at 11:38 p.m., he died by suicide by shooting himself under the chin. By the time this was over, 12 people would be dead, not including Ian. But if you include him, it would be 13 total. 9 men and 3 women died during the shooting, and 7 of these were college students, and 1 had recently graduated that month. Another victim was a 27-year-old Navy veteran who was actually at the 2017 Las Vegas shooting. So that's so sad. 16 other people were injured in the event. 2 were injured by gunfire. After this tragedy, police would go on to investigate what made this man do something like this. And they found out that he had an irrational hatred of college-age civilians. While Ian attended college at Cal State Northridge, he felt that students disrespected his military service, and he began calling them college civilians. And at one point he said, quote, "they should be wiped off the map," end quote. So he knew that college night was at the Borderline Grill in Thousand Oaks that night, and he knew that there would be a lot of students there, and that's why he picked that night, sadly. While he was at college, a lot of people did not agree with the war, and some students even disrespected his service overseas. According to reports, someone once told him, quote, "anyone who joined the military deserved to be shot and killed overseas," end quote. And this fueled his anger towards college people, and he thought that they were ignorant and also entitled. And he also felt alone and as if no one understood what he went through overseas. Ian actually posted on his social media accounts during the shooting. and this would give investigators insight into his deteriorating mental state. The last post before he shot himself said, quote, "It is too bad I won't get to see all the illogical and pathetic reasons people will put in my mouth as to why I did it. Life is so boring, so why not?" End quote. And he also left a note that said, "No funeral." After the shooting, the Ventura County Board of Supervisors formed the Task Force on Mental Health and Safety in response. And this would look into gaps in the system that protects the public and provides mental health care and makes recommendations on how to prevent and lessen the damage from mass shootings. And there was also a Healing Garden memorial at a local park nearby. The owners of the Borderline Bar and Grill said that they plan to renovate and reopen the location, but it is still permanently closed. In 2020, the owners opened a different bar in Agoura Hills, California, and that was called BL Dance Hall and Saloon. After the shooting, a person came forward to CNN and said that they were a friend of Ian's until they were in their early 20s, but they did not want their name revealed. And this person was pretty shocked that Ian could be a killer. They said that they didn't know what happened because he was always happy, and he was always a good person. Another friend said that he was not unhinged at all or violent. He was just a normal person, although they did stop communicating years before the shooting happened. No one really knows what happened in the years leading up to the shooting, but it's clear that he was definitely having some kind of mental illness issues that were not being resolved. 6 months after the tragedy, some of the survivors shared their stories in an article on Feces Star. A 20-year-old Moorpark College student named Mitchell Hunter said that it felt like it happened just yesterday. He said, quote, "It doesn't seem like 6 months. I remember it vividly, like every detail," end quote. And it's clear that a number of survivors also felt that way. I mean, that's just something you never forget. Another survivor named Sarah said that the shooting made her feel very anxious whenever she's in public. And that's something that she was really having a hard time with. And she wanted to live her life, but it was hard to because she was scared of something like that happening. A lot of the survivors also felt like they couldn't believe something like this could ever happen to them. I mean, they felt safe right before everything happened. So how could this even happen? This tragedy left a lot of scars with the victims, their families, and the survivors, and a lot of scars that'll never be healed completely. No one will ever know the complete motive behind the shooting. But it is certainly a day that many people will never forget. Thank you again for listening to this episode of True Crime Works on the Thousand Oaks shooting. I really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if you did, please remember to leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts from and rate, subscribe, and review. It really helps the show out and it helps others find the show. Thank you again for your support. It really means a lot to me. Remember, you can also follow me on Instagram at True Crime Works. And if you have any ideas for upcoming cases, you can either send me a message on Instagram or you can send me an email. And that address is truecrimeworks@gmail.com. Next week's episode is going to be another in the mass shooting series. And I really look forward to talking to everyone next week.